Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can check me out in Richmond Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. on 910 The Fan. I see we got a lot of guys on hold. Edwin, Ed, Travis, Dave, we're going to take your calls throughout the show today. We're live and local until 11:30. But I got a special guest joining me right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. You can get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. It's Chris Russell, the Rooster. What's going on, Chris?
What's up, AWOD? How are you, pal?
I'm doing pretty good, and I woke up this morning to a bunch of news that blew my mind that at 1:15 a.m. it was passed, and so now there's a chance the Commanders can move back to D.C. because of the RFK Memorial Stadium Revitalization Act. How about that, Rooster?
Yeah, so it was weird because I started getting a little tip from somebody in the know, I would say 10:30, 11 o'clock last night that, hey, like, keep an eye out. This thing might have a chance. You know, don't want to promise anything, but it might have a chance. And then, you know, like, I kept monitoring it until I guess I fell asleep, like, you know, right before then. And then I woke up, you know, I don't know, 2:33 in the morning. I was like, oh, it's done, you know. So, like, it was interesting to see it actually happen because, Ewan, like you, you know, I was – or maybe I shouldn't say like you, because I don't think we talked about this yesterday when you joined me on my show. I was so disgusted and tired of politics. We went from Muriel, you know, we went from all the stories, right? Well, are they going to get it in? Are they not going to get it in? Is it going to be opposed by Maryland and fighter jets and this, that? Muriel Bowser put out a celebratory statement the other day. Oh, we got it. We're done. It's been a lot. And then literally hours later, it was like, no, actually, we're not going to do this. And then what happened last night happened. So I would warn everybody, while certainly this is a huge moment and necessary, and I don't want to take away anybody celebrating anything, we still have a long way to go in this game. It's still a long game of political football from a financing, from a structure standpoint, from, well, you know, from D.C. Council. Like, there's a lot still left to do. I realize you can't get any of that done until you have the land. So yeah. Again, this is a significant
right, Chris,
step.
Chris, would you claim this
saying,
was?
Celebrate yet.
Would you say this was the biggest hurdle?
So, you know, I know in talking to like Eric Flack from WUSA9, who's much more involved in this and much smarter than I am, he felt this was the biggest hurdle. I've always felt the biggest hurdle would be the approval of from DC Council of the public funding part of it, whatever that turns out to be. And maybe I'm wrong on that. Eric seemed to not think that was going to be as big of an issue because DC has commissioned these studies that they haven't released the results of yet, but they have commissioned the studies, I think there's two of them, where what do you call it, where like part of the study, if not the heart of the study, was how to pay for, how to publicly finance, how to structure the financing to build the stadium with translucent roofs, with retractable roofs, all sorts of different things, bells and whistles, options, what have you. So I'll still hold on to me saying, hey, we have a long way to go here. I didn't anticipate this was going to be as hard as it was.
Yeah.
Honestly. So maybe I was dismissing, and I probably was. Honestly, Awad, I really thought this would be an easier process, and that makes me worried that the next steps ahead aren't going to be as easy as people think they're going to be.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I would feel more upset if what happened last night was the end of it, and then it didn't change at 1:15. Because I think you asked a few questions like, here's what I would say, Chris. Do the Commanders want to be in D.C.? I think absolutely Josh Harris wants to be
yes.
in D.C. Does D.C.
Correct.
Want the Commanders? I think absolutely.
Correct.
The timeline, probably 2030. I mean, and you got to love that they're trying to build out Capital One right now, and everything's yep. going getting started there. I mean, I think we can dream of a time in 5 or 10 years, probably more like 10 years, where you could go to maybe a Wizards game, a Caps game, or a Commanders game or a DC United game, two in the same day, because they're within mm-hmm. 20 miles of each other.
Yeah, and listen, there's all sorts of reasons why this should happen and probably will happen. I mean, from a tourism, from a destination standpoint, from what it means to the history of the franchise, all that. I have no doubt that Muriel Bowser and some in the D.C. Council and D.C. government want this very much to happen. The question that I have is, can a guy like, I think it was Charles Allen, who was on with Grant and Danny on the Fan earlier this week, he said, right now I wouldn't vote for this. Phil Mendelson has been very outspoken, and he is a very influential member, of D.C. politics. He has been very outspoken about no public funding and the D.C. budget not having. Now, again, that's why they commissioned some of these studies to find out, okay, how can we do this? Because unless Josh Harris and his ownership group are going to walk in with a $3.5 billion, gift, essentially, because they didn't have to buy the land, right? Think about this. If they would have built in Virginia, say, which there was originally a time that we thought maybe the Commanders certainly were looking into buying. Well, they didn't have to buy the property. They wouldn't have had to buy it in Landover because they already own it. But they don't have to buy this property. So that saves them money. So maybe they can up and crank up the public or the private financing and do things like they did in San Francisco with the Giants ballpark, which is completely privately financed. SoFi Stadium, completely privately financed. Now, you're dealing with different levels of billionaires there, but the point being is maybe because you don't have to buy the land, you don't even have to rent the land, I believe, maybe they can offer more money in terms of private financing, which will make this thing easier than I'm anticipating.
Chris Russell here, the Rooster, with us here on the BetQL guest hotline. Chris, look, I think that Josh Harris has a bit of a track record now of hiring the right people, putting the right people in place to get things done. And I'm not just saying that because the team is 9-5 for the first time in the past 30 years. But I was at the stadium, Northwest Stadium. I do think he's made an impact there in terms of getting in and out of the stadium, how the stadium looks, and how they treat their fans inside of the stadium, right? He even said his introductory press conference, he wanted it to feel like home. We have to protect our house here. Do you think it's too simple for me to just say, like, Josh Harris has a track record now of getting things done, and this got done
yep.
last minute, Hail Mary, 1:15. I don't really expect there to be too many more hiccups in this.
Yeah, well, whether I'm making too big of a deal of the hiccups or not remains to be seen, but your overall premise, Awad, is correct. I said this on Twitter to somebody this morning. I can't even remember. You know, this would have obviously never even come close to happening under Dan and Bruce, right? They tried for years and years and years to pit three municipalities against each other and walked away with nothing and were not even close. They were that incompetent. They were that clueless. So Josh is a deal maker. Josh obviously grew up in the area. He grew up going to RFK. It was very important to others in this ownership group. We all knew that this was the ideal location and where they wanted to have the first option. The question again was, could they get the land and then could they do the financing structure? So maybe that part will be easier than I'm anticipating. I don't know, because people want to work with Josh and because they understand that it's not just about paying billionaires. It's not just about giving public money to billionaires. It's not just about the football team, you know, 10, 11 times a year, including the preseason and maybe a playoff game. It's about bringing destination events like the Final Four, WrestleMania, big boxing matches, maybe the NBA All-Star Game, maybe the NHL All-Star Game, maybe the, you know, all sorts of different things to this new stadium and what they build around it. Now, what I don't know is, say they build at RFK, right? They get the new stadium. Is the new daily training facility, which is, you know, going to have to be done at some point here over the next 5 to 10 years, is that going to be part of that complex, or is that going to be somewhere else, i.e. in Maryland at the current Northwest Stadium site? And maybe you do that. Maybe there's just a small little entertainment village, you know, surrounding this new stadium to make it a more 365-day-a-year destination. And I think that's how they can justify it, because if you're bringing people there for more than 12, 13 days a year, a couple of concerts, maybe a couple of soccer games, what have you, if you're bringing people to that area, you are bringing in tax revenue and not to mention rent or mortgage from all the bars and restaurants and shopping and all that stuff, and that is part of this. That is part of the play here.
Chris, great breakdown, man. Really appreciate you taking the time to join the show today.
Of course. Absolutely. No doubt. Appreciate you, Awad. Happy holidays.
Yep, that is our buddy Chris Russell. You can check him out Monday through Friday on the Team 980, 1 to 4 p.m. Follow him on social media, RussellMania621. I'm at Awad Radio. You can tweet us your thoughts or chime in, 1-800-636-1067.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We're streaming now in Richmond on 910 The Fan as well. And that's where you can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. with AWOD Radio. Best of AWOD Radio is available for you on your ride home, on iTunes, Spotify, or that free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at AUDACY. So we're all fired up. Most of us here, maybe had one caller, wasn't about the RFK Stadium bill. Last night, 1:15 a.m., the RFK Memorial Stadium Revitalization Act was passed. A historic moment for our nation's capital. But tomorrow is probably the biggest game of the season. Washington hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, a rematch from the 26-18 defeat the Commanders suffered in the hands of Philadelphia on November 14th. And there's a lot on the line here because playoff seedings could change. And I told you guys earlier, if things happen correctly for the Commanders, they win this game, Atlanta loses and the Rams lose, and they've already clinched their playoff spot with two games to go. So let's take a look at the injury report. Sam Cosmi still showing up with an illness, but he was a full participant in practice on Friday. I don't know that's the same illness, but remember Tyler Biadasz was held out last Sunday because of an illness, so there's some kind of a bug that's been going through the offensive linemen in the locker room. Two people who have concussions, and both of them look like there's a chance they're going to play this Sunday. That's Zach Ertz and Jeremy Chinn. The defensive coach, Joe Witt Jr., seemed very confident Jeremy Chinn would be able to go. He was a full practice, full participant in practice on Friday. Zach Ertz, limited. But I know there's been some reports inside the building that he wants to give it a go on Sunday and that he was going through practice with his stretching routines he's going to play on Sunday. I really thought it would be a shock if Ertz would have played, and I thought Chinn was going to play. But as of today, from my sources, it does feel like there's a chance both could play. Jonathan Allen returned to practice in a limited fashion. They open up the 21-day window. I've been told he wants to play in the Falcons game. He's out for this weekend, we know that. But just having his energy back in the locker room, I think is going to help out the defensive line. Daron Payne and the rest of those guys like Johnny Newton, they're going to be so much better when they have Jonathan Allen next to them. Michael Dieter showed up with an ankle injury, Cleveland Farrell with a knee, Luke McCaffrey with a shoulder, and Dante Fowler with a groin. All those guys were able to practice fully on Friday and should be able to play on Sunday. As we look at the Commanders against the Philadelphia Eagles, let's take a listen to Cliff Kingsbury, the offense coordinator for Washington, 9-5 in year one. Here's Cliff on the last time they played the Eagles. Now, let me preface this before we hear from Cliff here. If you guys remember, we had the heartbreaking loss to the Steelers, all right? Actually, let me even rewind before that. We had the Jaden Daniels get injury game against the Panthers. Well, is he really injured? Because he threw a Hail Mary against the Bears. And then he went to New York and got a win. But against the Steelers, he just didn't look like himself. Maybe that was just a great defense, but we lose that game 28-27, heartbreaking fashion. 4 days later, we had to go to the link and play against Philadelphia. Short week, injured quarterback. The line was beat up. The defense was struggling at that point. But, and you know what? With it, after all that, we still played one of our best defensive performance games in the first half. Had a 7-3 lead. We're winning 10-3 late in the third quarter there. We lose 26-18. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on the last time they played the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the ability to learn from what we did the first time we played them on a short week, I mentioned this before, but I had way too much in, and I felt like we played tentative. I didn't call a very good game. So now to have the full week process and just see how they played this first time, try to make the proper adjustments, and then see how far we've come since then. I think that's going to be the exciting part. But they've done a tremendous job, Coach Fangio, defensively. I mean, the improvements they made from last year and just watching them week to week, critical moments, the way they're playing. It's been impressive to see the job he's done. It'll be a huge challenge, but I think we're a different team, they're a different team, and hopefully we can play at a lot higher level than we did the first time.
I just think that's so insightful there from Coach Cliff Kingsbury. He put it on him. I mean, the offense did not perform to the standards that they've set against the Philadelphia Eagles. They had the three 3-and-outs in a row. They missed opportunities, including a 4th-and-1. They didn't take advantage of the Eagles' 2 missed field goals in the first half. And the defense was bend, 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 don't break. Saquon broke them in the fourth quarter. But I'm not blaming the defense. I think most people know, after that Eagles game, I blamed the offense. And I thought that there was something wrong with Jaden health-wise, or also maybe the moment was too big for him. What do the kids say, Max? He was shook. He looked shook at the link against the Eagles, man. He just did not look like himself. I think he would admit that was probably his worst game as an NFL quarterback. Well, now he gets a chance for revenge. And same for Cliff Kingsbury, who needs to call a better game. There's just so many things going in Washington's favor now when you consider, hey, this is the second match against Philly, right? We've gotten a chance to watch the film against them. They've gotten the chance to watch the film against us. What's improved? Well, we are at home, Northwest Stadium. That's one. Number two, Marshawn Lattimore. He wasn't on the field last time. A.J. Brown's got another thing coming for him with Marshawn on the outside there. And we are playing better against the run in the last few weeks here. And I do think that Saints game, you know, this happens so much in the NFL where teams play down to their opponent. We went to New Orleans, took a lead, and then played down to the opponent. And Spencer Rattler came in and they came back. But we got the victory. A win is a win. Doesn't matter how much we won by. Steelers are saying the same thing after they came to Washington and win by one. We come back from New Orleans. A win is a win. Let's get back to work, grind, watch the film. It's always probably better to watch film when you know you won the game. And there's a lot of things that they can improve on from the last time they played against the Philadelphia Eagles. And so we'll go through my keys to victory and pathway to success, as well as behind enemy lines with Chris McPherson from Eagles.com here. But I've been saying it all week long. I'm backing my boys. I love our chances of beating the Eagles on Sunday. I think Jaden's going to play better. I expect our offensive line to play better than they did against the Saints. I mean, that was a last-minute replacement of Dieter in for Tyler Biadasz, who in my mind is having close to a Pro Bowl season, and all of a sudden you lose him. The snaps were a little off, the timing, right? The offense is all about rhythm and timing, and that was just not clicking in the second half against the Saints. You get Biadasz back, it should really help out the offensive side of the ball. But in these winter months here, you got to be able to run the ball, and that's not just Brian Robinson. That's Jaden Daniels using his legs. I think he's got to get going on the ground here in this one, 30-plus yards at least for them to have a chance to win. And so I don't know that that's Cliff Kingsbury or more Jaden. I like the way Jaden the last 2 weeks has taken off on some of these rollout plays. When the first option's not there, he knows I can get 5-6 yards with my legs. Boom, I'm going to get that done. It's quick decision-making. That was his issue against the Eagles. For some reason, on the road, in that tough environment, and against a very good defense, they're only giving up 17 points per game, he struggled with this decision-making. If that's improved, and the defense is now improved with Marshawn Lattimore, I like our chances of getting the win. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go on the free Odyssey app. You can now check us out in Richmond on 910 The Fan. So because of Virginia Tech basketball, we're cutting off the show today at 11:30. So we got an hour still to preview the Commanders against the Eagles with keys to victory and pathway to success. My guy Linnell Willingham will chime in. I'm sure he's got something to say about the RFK Bill, and also the Washington Commanders. Will go around the NFL with AWOD's picks. And you know I mentioned this at the top of the show. I think this is the best football day for football fans of all time when you consider the inaugural 12-team college football playoffs. Playoffs! We got 3 college football playoff games to preview. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980, always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You can now catch us Saturday mornings in Richmond on 910 The Fan. So I just think this is football fans' football day. This is Christmas for football fans. Even though there's NFL games now on Christmas, you know, Max, it's going to be so weird not watching the NBA on Christmas this year, but I've been boycotting the league, except for going to the game on Thursday night, but it's all about the NFL on Christmas. But today is a football fan's dream when you consider what you've got going on. College football playoffs. You've got game after game after game. Three games today, two NFL games. I mean, there's just plenty on your plate here if you are an NFL fan and you want to check this out here. So I wanted to go through the games today, and we'll start with the college level. Now, I've been locked into college football this season, of course, covering the ACC here in Richmond with Virginia Tech and Virginia, and surprisingly, you got two ACC schools into the mix, and that's where we will begin, 12 noon on TNT, SMU at Penn State. Now, let me just say this. SMU deserved to get in. All right, I don't know, there might be some Bama fans listening right now. Roll Tide. Alabama, if they deserve to get in, it was over Indiana. We saw that last night, right? I mean, let's just be honest. Did Indiana deserve to get in? I don't think so. They played two tough games all season. They lost them both. They had a cupcake of a schedule. The Big Ten was way down this year when you consider Washington and Michigan last year in the college football playoffs. This year weren't even in the top 25. So the Big Ten was way down, but the Big Ten got four teams in. Notre Dame took care of Indiana last night at home, 27-17. I think they need to change the rules for the college football playoffs, Max, because these games should not be at home. These games should not be at home. The next round, when you win your actual championship, maybe you deserve to play at home. But why does Penn State deserve to get a home game here against SMU?
Penn State got a pretty easy path.
They got the easiest freaking matchups in the world to get to. If Penn State doesn't get to the finals, you should fire James Franklin. How easy it is.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me?
No, you're absolutely right. Penn State, that's why I got them heavy today.
Yeah.
I feel like James Franklin knows that he's got to win at least two of these games for him to kind of be able to retain his job at Penn State. But I think just talent wise, they're gonna smoke them. But it's the home game thing. I don't know that it. Penn State at the end of the day made the Big Ten championship game, so
yeah.
You should be rewarded for that at least a little bit. But
yeah, with seeding, but probably not to get a home game.
Yeah.
And I think they will adjust that next year. So this game's on TNT. So let me go back to what I was saying with SMU. They deserve to get in here because they paid to get into the ACC. Same with Stanford and Cal. But those two teams didn't run through the ACC like SMU did, undefeated. And I get it. You could say it's a down year for the ACC, but you still had three top teams in Miami, Clemson, and SMU who were damn good. And they had to make a quarterback change this year. From Preston Stone, who I interviewed at ACC kickoff, and I was impressed with that young quarterback. And then they went to Kevin Jennings, and my goodness, did that team take off. The sophomore from Texas threw for 3,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, and he is Lamar Jackson light. And I'm not just saying that because he wears number 7 and runs around the field. Dude, he is so good at being a scramble dual threat quarterback, and the reason he's so good is because of his accuracy on the run. It is unbelievable. I mean, in the ACC title game, he brought them back from the dead against Clemson, down 17 points, tied it, then Clemson won it with a field goal. So I think Kevin Jennings will show up, but I go back to the ACC title game, and the lights were too bright for SMU there in that game. The lights were too bright in that game. Well, how are the lights going to be? University Park, one of the best home field advantages in all of college football. That's why I'm picking Penn State here. SMU would have to get off to like a 14-3 start in this game if they're going to win. Any early turnover and the crowd gets riled up, it's going to go in favor of Penn State. Give me Penn State to win this game tonight. If you're filling out your bracket, you can follow along. TNT and on Max. Yes, it'll be streaming on Snacks Amos. 4 p.m. Texas against Clemson here. So Texas at home here. If you came to Football Festival alongside Grant Paulson, Danny Ruya, and Michael Phelps, I predicted Texas Hook'em, the Longhorns, to win the 2024 College Football Championship. I had Texas in the finals playing January 20th. I had them winning it all before the season started, so I got to stick with it. Now, here's the case for Clemson, all right? Dabo Sweeney's been there and done that before, and he showed up in the ACC title game, and boom, they jumped out to a huge lead. So he's got a good quarterback in Cade Klubnik, who's thrown 33 touchdowns to just 5 interceptions, an unbelievable, probably NFL future running back in Phil Maffa, and they've got receivers on the outside. Texas just has bigger boys on the offensive and defensive line, and I think that's what's going to be the difference in this game. I think it will actually be really close in the battle of quarterbacks between Klubnik and Quinn Ewers, but I am going with Texas to knock off Clemson. So I covered the ACC this year, but I'm picking against the ACC in the college football playoffs. Tonight, 8 p.m. on ABC. Max, I'll let you give us your thoughts on this, but I've been saying all week long on my show, AWOD Radio, this is going to be the best game of all of the college football playoffs. I really think Tennessee and Ohio State can both win it all. They got Oregon waiting for them. Ohio State lost, what, 33-32 to Oregon. Tennessee has played so good throughout this season. And really, when you look at Tennessee, who did they lose to? Georgia. And then they slipped up against Arkansas this year. Now, that was a bad loss to Arkansas, but it was a 19-14 game, low scoring, that Arkansas stole it late from them there. But outside of that Georgia loss, I mean, they've got a lot of impressive wins on their schedule, including a victory over Alabama, which is why Bama's not in it, but Tennessee is. 6-2 in the SEC, 10-2 overall here. I think this is going to be the game of the entire college football playoffs. Max, what's your pick?
It's tough, man. It's real tough. I like Tennessee a lot. These teams are both loaded with talent. What it's going to come down to is just how much trust these quarterbacks, or how much trust these coaches have in their quarterback, and how much trust these quarterbacks have in their teammates, because it's going to come down to the decision making of Will Howard and the decision making of Nico Amaliava.
Yeah, so, I think a decent bet is Tennessee +7.
That's really right where I'm leaning, is the dog taking the points.
Because like I said, I think Ohio State could beat Oregon. They nearly had them earlier. Same with Tennessee. And I'm going to pick Tennessee because I do think you go with the stronger conference this season. SEC has been better than the Big Ten. So those are my three picks for your three games today. As we fill out the bracket here online, you know, I'm just so fired up to actually fill out a bracket, Max, right? It's kind of reminding me of the NCAA tournament, and I do think we'll expand it even further. I think probably 16 teams might be the perfect number to get in, you know, another mid-major smaller school like Iowa State or a BYU. BYU was good enough to get in if you had 16 teams in my mind this season. And then, of course, you'll add Alabama and a few other SEC or Big Ten teams. So Texas moves on to the quarterfinals. Texas against Arizona State. I mean, this is what I'm talking about here, Max. I get it. Arizona State's at home because they won the Big 12. Texas is going to go into their building and whoop them. Texas gets all the way to the semifinals. I have Tennessee against Oregon. I will pick Oregon to win that game. It'll be a close one, so you'll have an Oregon-Texas semifinal. Move down to the southern part of the bracket, SMU-Penn State. We're going with Penn State, and like we said, James Franklin gets fired if Penn State loses on the road to Boise State. Boise State, great story. The only loss they had this season was to Oregon by 3 points. They got the best running back in the country. He was my Heisman Trophy vote. If I had a vote, Ashton Jeanty. I don't care that Travis Hunter is on Twitch and he's got a million fans because he interacts with them on social media. He wasn't a top five wide receiver, a top five corner, and I'm not in on the Deion hype. Ashton Jeanty should have been the Heisman Trophy winner. Having said all that, though, Penn State goes to Boise and takes down the Broncos to get to the semifinals. You already saw Notre Dame advance, but they got Georgia waiting for them. We do have a little bit of a quarterback injury at Georgia, but I do think they're so tough, they will get past Notre Dame. And so you'll have Penn State, Georgia. You'll have Texas against Oregon, and I will have a final of Texas against Georgia with Texas winning it all. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and in Richmond on 910 AM. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on The Fan. Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up? It's AWOD. You're listening to DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app, and now you can check us out Saturday mornings in Richmond on 910 AM with the new sports radio 910 The Fan. If you're just waking up, in a wild turn of events, the bill passed a Commander's Hail Mary at 1:15 AM, meaning DC will soon be an option for the next Washington Commanders Stadium in a shocking early morning twist in the Senate. The RFK Stadium bill passed. And that's just awesome. I mean, just great news this morning. I really didn't think it was possible last night. I mean, the way things broke yesterday afternoon, it was like, oh, no, it's a nightmare situation. And then at 1:15, a historic moment for our nation's capital as you get the Senate passage of the D.C. RFK Memorial Stadium Revitalization Act. We've been talking about this throughout the show today. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. I thought it was pretty cool. Max took a ton of calls, and we had people telling stories about their favorite memories from RFK. And if you want to chime in about that, I will take more RFK calls right now. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. But since we're waiting for people to call in about the RFK bill, and that's on the top of everyone's mind. But for me, I'm focused on this Eagles game. I'm focused on getting a win over Philly, right? To get a win over Philly, to inch closer to a playoff berth. And here, I just really want Jaden Daniels to come out there and light up that Philadelphia defense. Because they think they're so good. I told you guys this story. I went to the bar a week after the Commanders-Eagles game, and just ran into a few listeners that turned out to be Eagles fans. I would have walked away from them if I knew that. And they would not stop talking smack. Eagles have been 8-2, 8-2, 8-2 the last three years. We knew we were going to beat the Commanders. Of course we're 8-2. Now we're 10-2. We can't lose on defense. Have you heard about Quinyon Mitchell? He's a lockdown corner. Cooper DeJean, the best white corner that's ever played. Blah, 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 blah. I think Jalen Hurts is overrated. On first and second down, he's an average quarterback. Third down, he's an all-pro. We go behind enemy lines to find out the latest on the Philadelphia Eagles right now on AWOD Radio. Max, you have my behind enemy line segment ready to roll? Let's see if we can do this here.
Oh, we had calls, sorry.
Oh, my bad, my bad. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. So here's my thoughts on this matchup against the Eagles. So I went behind enemy lines with Chris McPherson, who is an Eagles insider. And, of course, Philadelphia's got a ton of talent. I mean, they really do. There's a reason that they're beating everybody. I mean, I want to hate on Philadelphia, but I will start by giving them credit. I did not expect them to beat the Browns, the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Steelers this season. I mean, all four of those teams in the division. That's wild. You got to give them credit for that. And against the Steelers, they stopped the momentum of Russell Wilson and Pittsburgh's offense with a 27-13 victory. And once again, they were able to run all over another team, 131 yards on the ground. So that's where it starts right there. If you want to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, you got to stop Saquon Barkley. And Philadelphia kept running Saquon, and he wasn't running for his normal average against Pittsburgh, but then Kenneth Gainwell came in and did a few nice carries. And then Jalen Hurts took off and actually got into the end zone. And he ran for 23 yards on one run that picked up a huge first down for Philadelphia. So Pittsburgh said, hey, we're going to stop Saquon. And Philly said, well, we have multiple guys that can run the football. So it doesn't just start by stopping Saquon. It starts by getting to Jalen Hurts. That pass rush has got to get to Jalen Hurts. You cannot let him throw 75% completion percentage here. You have to move him off of his spot. So I think the first thing that we have to talk about here in slowing down the Philadelphia Eagles offense is getting guys into the backfield with our pass rush. To run blitz to stop Saquon Barkley and to have Frankie Louvu, Dorrance Armstrong, meeting the middle, going around the outside, and crushing Jalen Hurts here. He has been so good on third down this season. And that's the other thing, is third down conversions are going to be crucial in this matchup. Washington was awful on third down the first time against Philadelphia. And I say this all every time. When you play the Eagles, it's not first and 10, it's first and 9. Because if you get to a third and 1 or a fourth and 1, they're going to convert with their dumb tush push. So you have to push them backwards. You have to create a tackle for loss. You have to force a negative play off of either a drop, a penalty, a sack, or a tackle for loss there if you want to stop their offense. And then on Washington's side of the ball, offensively, it does start at the line of scrimmage. It starts with the return of Tyler Biadasz, bringing the force there, hopefully setting up some lanes for B-Rob to run. But I really go back to that Eagles game, and they were so good at rushing through the gaps on running plays. They had so many tackles for loss against Washington, and that kind of started it, the negative plays for Washington. And when you looked at the schedule this season for Washington, during that three-game losing streak, Steelers, Eagles, Cowboys, we were having about 10 to 12 negative plays per game. It was the opposing team's tackles for loss. It was our drop passes. It was our stupid penalties. And it was the sacks that Jaden was taking. He took 3 sacks last time we played against Philadelphia, and their defense had 8 tackles for loss. And so that's why when I spoke with Chris McPherson and I asked him, what do you think is the most important matchup here? He pointed to the linebackers for the Eagles versus Jaden Daniels. Well, what does that mean? Zach Bond, Nakobe Dean versus Jaden Daniels? Because he knows that Jaden Daniels is going to want to run, and Jaden has the ability, like we saw against the Saints, to break a game wide open if he can run and scramble for 20-plus yards on a third down. And so when Jaden looks to take off, they're looking for Nakobe Dean and Zach Bond, number 53, to shut him down. And that is going to be a critical matchup. When Jaden steps up in the pocket, you know the Eagles are going to have a spy for him. They know they don't want to get burnt by Jaden's ability to take a guy around the corner with his legs or cut up the middle and get a first down. So they're going to try to stop him from his biggest strength, which is using his legs. And then you look at the outside, Quinyon Mitchell against Terry McLaurin. We didn't really give Terry a shot, I felt like, the first time. We just, I guess, believed into the Mitchell hype that he was that good. One catch for the Eagle killer, Terry McLaurin, on 2 targets. That needs to change immediately, and we have seen it in the last 2 weeks. They target Terry early, and he has 2 touchdowns in the last 2 games here, but I want 5 targets in the first quarter for Terry McLaurin. He is the heartbeat of the offense. He's the lifeline there. You have got to get him involved. Everybody else feels good about it. And then when you start throwing the ball, Jaden starts feeling more comfortable. Then all of a sudden, you can run the ball. I like when Washington does like a first down, little hitch route to Terry for 5 or 6 yards. 2nd and 4, they line up, and they run B-Rob for 5 and 6 and move the chains. Not even facing a third down. That's how efficient our offense was at times this season. It's hard to look back because it's been such a long year, but we had 2 games in a row. We didn't even punt the ball this season. That's the kind of offense we need against the Eagles on Sunday. It's going to be a nightmare of a matchup. It really is. They're so good. Now, they are missing Dallas Goedert, and I think that could be huge for Washington because he was a game changer and has been throughout this season. Goedert came into Philadelphia. They drafted him. He ended up replacing Zach Ertz. This could be a revenge game for Zach Ertz this Sunday if he's able to go with a concussion. But the Eagles losing Dallas Goedert, I do think that is so interesting to see how their offense is going to be able to handle that. He has been really good this season on third down and on these little plays where Jalen fakes it to Saquon and just throws it to Dallas Goedert, and it should be a 2-yard catch and run, but because they executed so well with their timing, he gets 8 to 10 yards almost every time they do that. So I'm sure they'll try it with Calcaterra, the backup tight end, but I don't think it'll be the same as when they do it with Dallas Goedert. So we'll see how Philadelphia handles that injury at tight end, but this is a damn good defense for the Eagles. I mean, the stats prove it. They are number one. They are number one in points against, 17.6, and an offense led by Saquon Barkley that's number one in rushing yards. The Commanders probably played a C-plus game against Philadelphia as a whole in that first time, because I really think you played one of the best games defensively in the first half. The offense didn't do anything. And then the second half, maybe the offense started doing a little bit, and you got one great drive down the field at the end of the game to make it 18-26 and give yourself one last chance. But you need to play full quarters here. You need to play full four quarters against the Eagles. This is our opportunity to have our first basically quality win of the season. We have not had that yet. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.